Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir.
Praise God, and my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, we're here.
Praise God. We thank God we're on another Thursday, another raining Thursday in the DMV.
Yep.
I was looking at God's work today, how He slowed everything down with all this rain He gave us. A lot of the ways home, I had to go to my third and fourth way to get home. But thank God He allowed me to be able to know three or four ways to get home. But some of the ways that I try to get home were 4 or 5 feet of water deep.
Yep.
Thank God I just got a trickle of water in the basement. So
okay.
Thank God for that. God is good. You know, on last Thursday we had tornadoes and all kind of stuff. So we thank God that He is able to keep us in the midst of the literal storm.
Amen.
So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name. We humbly bow, God, and thank You for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study Your word. And Father, we pray that You would bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto You, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing Your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that it will be done to Your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Sheila G, on last week, we were finished up chapter 10 of the book of Acts. And as we get ready to go into chapter 11, we're seeing how God is pulling Peter and Cornelius together, and how the Holy Spirit is showing evidence that the Gentiles were as blessed by God as were the Jews. And it was only God that could bring the people together. And He brought them together under His Holy Spirit, under His anointing for His purpose. And, you know, that's the whole thing with the book of Acts, and we call it the book of the Holy Spirit, is that God is trying to get people from every nation back into the proper relationship with Him. In other words, back together in the right relationship with Him. And then when we are in the proper relationship with God, then we can be in the proper relationship with each other. And, you know, that's the thing, and I was thinking about this with our dad, is that when we were born into this world, or when our children were born or grandchildren were born into the world, he had this saying that he would say is that they had to get used to this living business.
Yep.
And he would say that with all our children, that you know, they're getting used to this living business. And then later on in his life, as he was transitioning, he would say, I'm getting used to this dying business. And so,
right.
You know, what he understood was that God had a plan for our life and our ultimately our death. And what was unique about it is, whether it was your child, you and Reverend Gregory, Dr. D's children, my children, he would say that about all of our children, our brothers, our sisters' children. You know, they get used to the living business. And he understood that all children and everyone had to go through this same route. In other words, we had more in common than we had in difference.
Right.
And every child that's born into this world has to get used to this living business. And you have to learn how to get along. Kids are going back to school, whether it's virtual, whether it's in person. They had to learn how to get along with each other, learn to play nice in the sandbox, learn to share, learn to deal with getting up early, learn to go to bed early, doing homework.
Yeah.
All these things is living business, and there's a certain way to do it. And if you do it correctly, then you can have a life that's meaningful, a life that is gratifying, satisfying, a life that's pleasing to God, that you can get along with others. But the key is you have to have the proper relationship with God. And if you have the proper relationship with God, then you have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to get along with each other on every
right.
level during this living business. And so I say all this to say is that God wanted the Jews, the Gentiles, and men of every nation, men and women of every nation to get along. And so what he did is he sent his Holy Spirit to be able to, first of all, get us in the right relationship with him. And so in chapter 10, we saw God speaking to Cornelius. We saw God speaking to Peter and how their relationship with God first allowed them to be able to be used by the Holy Spirit to be able to get along with each other. And that is the living business that was applicable back then, and the living business is applicable today, that we find so many people who don't get along and can't get along with each other is because they're not first can't get along with God. They don't have a relationship with God, and so because they don't have a relationship with God, they can't have a relationship with each other. And so trying
right.
to get along with people that are different from them seems like an impossibility, and they're frustrated and they can't do it, because they're not using the power of the Holy Spirit that's available from God to be able to do it. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you were talking about this, I thought about a song, because you were saying that at the end of the day, in order for us to get along, Jesus needs to be the center. If everybody focuses on God and focuses on Jesus, then we can be on one accord. And the song that I was thinking about was an old song that was like, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect belongs to you. And that is where God wants us to be. He wants to be the center of our joy, because all that's good and perfect belongs to him. Even when we talk about the scripture where it says, love thy neighbor as you love yourselves, part of the problem is people don't love themselves because they're not looking at themselves through God's eye. They're looking at themselves through what people think of them, how people think they should be, wanting to impress man instead of impressing God, so they can't love their neighbors because they don't have that true godly love for themselves, not so much that they're full of themselves, but recognize that they're fearfully and wonderfully made, so they don't have to be jealous of man. They don't have to be intimidated by man, because we all serve the same God, and he's the center of our joy.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, I think you and Sheila both have hit on it. The really big thing is, because most people don't have the knowledge of who God is, we see happening, what's taking place, and you know, and as you said, you know, we can't get along with each other because we don't have the right relationship with the Lord. You know, I this past Sunday I celebrated 47 years in the ministry, and I thought about all of those years that have been given to the Lord, and I had to start off young, but I grew, and the more I grew in the Lord, the more I became aware of who God is, so that now, you know, he is the center of my life. But people just don't have that. You know, we seem to be fighting a battle out here, and everybody's trying to do their own thing. And nobody seems to get it, you know, until mankind gets back into the right relationship with the Lord, things will never go right.
Amen.
Amen. You all said a mouthful. Amen. And so what I love about the Bible is God is actually teaching us and showing us how to do it. And if we're so blessed to be able to have a God that loves us so much and is willing to become a part of this world, you know, you talked about John 3:16 last Thursday, but he's willing to become a part of our lives, willing to give us his Spirit, to be able to teach us and show us how to do it. And and that's such an awesome blessing for God to think so much of us, that even when we're not, like Daddy used to say, you know, even when we're not doing the right in the living business, that he understands the process. He understands our frame. He understands, you know, who we are. He understands our shortcomings. And he gives us the grace to be able to deal with our living business of getting used to trying to get along, trying to make it through, trying to do the right thing, trying to get used to this living business, falling down and getting back up. So like a kid that's learning to walk, you know, they crawl, they pull up, they wobble, they fall back down and get back up. And you have the parent that's there to pick them up and to hold their hand and to show them how to do it. And that's the way a loving God is. But we can't have the children breaking bad on the parent.
And
if the children break bad on the parent, then they break bad on the siblings, and they break bad on the neighbor's kids, and then they have this whole attitude of breaking bad. Like, I can do it on my own. I don't need your help. Get out of my life. You're just trying to make it hard on me. And so there's turmoil in the relationship with other people, because they're not trusting in a loving God that wants to show them how to do the right thing. And children that rebel against their parents and against their siblings, it's not a pleasant thing. There's no peace there. There's strife there. There's unease. There's jealousy. You look back in the book of Genesis with Cain and Abel, and one child was in tune with God, and one child wasn't in tune with God, and Cain slew Abel, and now you have this dysfunctional family. Yes, in the Bible, the first family was a dysfunctional family, because, you know, you had one brother that knew God and was in relationship with God, one that didn't, wasn't in the right relationship, and so he got jealous and killed his sibling. And so you have this soul deceived, soul of dysfunction and sin and rebellion sowed into the family of the humankind from the beginning. And so you have a loving God in Genesis 3:15 that says, I'm going to straighten this thing up. I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and thy seed. And and he's trying to bring it back together. And so what he does is he puts a plan into action to show us where we've gone wrong. We showed in the Old Testament how we've come short and how we need to rely on God to get back into the right relationship, what our dad would call living business, how we would get back to the right place, the right place where we're, mankind was in the Garden of Eden. How do
Amen.
We get back to that? How do we get back to this place where we're in tune with God, in tune with each other? And it's been an ongoing issue from the beginning with Adam and Eve and with the family of God and when Cain slew Abel and it was a rivalry and it was a murder and it was a hot mess because it didn't have the proper relationship with God to give God the proper offering that was pleasing in God. And because one gave the proper offering, he got an attitude, got mad, and killed his brother. And you have the same crazy stuff, Trilogy,
yeah.
going on today because the living yep. business, first of all, needs to be in tune with God so I can
right.
be in tune with my brother, Trilogy.
Amen. That's the bottom line. What we started off with the conversation is Jesus needs to be the center, but we're making ourselves the center of attention. So we're all trying to one-up each other, one-up man. You know, if I please man or if I get over on man, now it's a matter of all these scams and con artists and trying to get man, which if you trusted God, you don't have to sneak your way into victory. Now everybody's trying to, you know, they're trying, you know, you look at the political arena, they're trying to sneak, steal, stab, whatever their way into. When God says if you just be righteous and follow the righteousness of God, you can be content in whatever state you're in, so you don't have to try to manipulate man because guess what? God is still all-powerful, so you copping to bad, trying to hide, try to sneak, I'm going to keep exposing you. And then it's going to come out and it's going to be so you can either do it the hard way or the right way. And God gives us
Amen.
A choice. So you choose this day who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. So don't get mad at me because God is blessing me in spite of your hatefulness. And you
Amen.
Can't find you're not content. You're still stirred up. You're still panicked. You're still insecure because you're trusting in man and not trusting in God. You're letting the man attack. You're giving too much power to the devil, for one, because you're letting man get you upset. But if you just trust in God, you'll get upset, but you'll move on just as quick and have peace of mind.
Amen. Amen. And you know, even with Cain and Abel, you know, his blood cried out. So the witnesses are coming out, and he can't cover it up. And, you know, he got an attitude, and my brother's keeper, Dr. G, you know, it seems like when people are out of tune with God, they want to try to blame everybody but
Amen.
Themselves, and they want to, you know, get an attitude with God, get an attitude with everybody else for the stuff they did. And like Sheila G said, in the political arena, you got so many, you know, politicians, when they get caught in their dirt, in their mess, in their murder, you know, they want to get mad and break bad with God. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, that was the thing that you know, Cain, you know, wanted to throw out, you know, because what he did, it came to light. Dr. G?
Well, you're right. And, you know, just sitting here thinking, the whole thing with all of this is just that we're just not growing in the body of Christ like we should. If we were, I mean, a lot of people say they're saved, this, that, and the other. Some folks just go to church. But if we were seriously committed to walking that line and doing what the Lord wants, then there would be a steady growth. I mean, granted, you know, the day that we accept Christ, we're not going to 100% know how to live right, what to do, and all of that, but there ought to be some steady growing in the process so that, you know, when I look back, if we look back over our year last year from where we are now, there should have been some growth. So that we shouldn't be doing the same things that we did last year this year. And so there needs to be serious growing in Christ to understand about not being in the will of God.
Amen. Amen. And it's like I said, it's a loving God that shows us and wants us to grow and like a parent, you know. They want their children to grow. They want them to mature. They want them to advance, to grow up, to be whatever God intended them for them to be. And so here is God in chapter 10 of the book of Acts, of bringing the Jews and the Gentile together, getting them to realize that there is one God, and whether you're Jew or Gentile, there is one Holy Spirit, and God wants to bring them together so that they would be can be the people that God intends for them to be able to have the proper relationship with God, have a proper relationship with each other, and be a witness to those that are from the Jew background, from the Gentile background, of how it should be done or what God is looking for. And so this is what was accomplished in chapter 10 when Peter and Cornelius got together, and as Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit came and demonstrated himself through the Gentiles to the Jews, and they were astonished. The Jews were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles, and the same evidence that it gave the Jews on the day of Pentecost was the same evidence that was given when the Gentiles received it, and they were able to speak in a different language so that everybody heard the same message. And so if we go back to Genesis, just real quick, I'm sorry, to Acts 10, verse 47, it says, then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way, I'm reading in NIV, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. And so God's will, God's plan to bring the Jews and the Gentiles together through the power of the Holy Spirit was accomplished. And so the Jews at that time were on one accord with the Gentiles. They were on one accord with God and the Holy Spirit, and they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And so you have this complete picture of what God wants. He wants both Jew and Gentile to be led by the Spirit, to be able to get along, to be able to love each other and love God. And so God brought these two together so that his message could be spread to those that they are in contact with. And so Peter stayed with them a few days. And so that was accomplished. And now it was time for them to go and to minister, Peter to go back and to minister to where God wanted him to minister, and Cornelius to go back to minister where he wanted them to minister. And so God is a progressive God. And so it just didn't stop there, but the whole purpose was to bring them under the umbrella of God, show them that through the power of the Holy Spirit, they can be baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And now they can be empowered to go tell somebody else and witness to somebody else about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. They too can be saved and follow this same example, this living business, as I'm saying tonight. But you know as well as I know, Sheila G., mm-hmm. that when you're trying to do the work of God, Dr. G., when you're trying to do the will of God, and you're trying to walk by the Holy Spirit, and God is moving, and God's plan is working through your life and those that you're ministering to the life, then the enemy going to get upset.
That's right. He loves his job.
That he's still going to be on his job.
Mm-hmm.
And even if God's plan comes through and people are blessed, that the enemy is going to do his job. And so mm-hmm. all of this work that the Holy Spirit has done, all of this work that he's done in the church, completing this task of the Jews and Gentiles getting together and the Holy Spirit ministering, and then the family of the Gentiles get saved and they're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you know they fellowship together for a few days, and lo and behold, Lord have mercy,
Mm-hmm.
Word got back. And that's their gossip. The word got back to the folk at Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Somebody must have got on the telephone or something. If you go to chapter 11, Peter had to go back. And when he got home, he thought, you know, everything would be great. Hey, guess what I did? Yada, 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 you know. God is so good, and he did this with the Gentiles, and it was a blessing. But you know, folks would say, well, we've done this for 25 years. We ain't never seen this happen. What are you going to do this for? We don't understand. This don't make sense. This is not godly. You know, you know, you're on this mountaintop experience. You're on the mountain.
Yep.
Holy Spirit and rocked the house. God showed up and showed out. Folks were saved, baptized, you know, ready to go and preach the gospel. And now you got these older folk that have been saved a little while longer. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Think they got the corner on the market on salvation. Think they've been saved all their life. And they know it all. So in chapter 11, I'm telling you there's nothing new on this side. Chapter 11, verse 1. And I'm going to read the NIV, then I'm going to read the King James. It said, the apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized them and said, you went to the house of the uncircumcised men and ate with them?
And
the King James says, and the apostle and the brethren that were in Judea heard the Gentiles had also received the word of God, and when Peter was coming to Jerusalem, they were of the circumcised and contended with them, saying, how went this unto the men uncircumcised and did eat us with them? And so here we are. It's like you get in this situation where you have to learn to expect that the enemy is going to try to show confusion and division among God's people, and it's just so typical that after that mountaintop experience, you got to put the gloves back on, go back down in that valley, and kick butt.
Amen. And that's just life itself. It's so interesting that you brought this up because, for example, last Sunday we had a high time in the Lord, and made, you know, like we do every Sunday on Zoom, Reverend Grimes preached a great message. It's already all right, and you know, everybody was excited, had a good time, get testimonies. And then when we had prayer service on Wednesday, there were a number of people that said that Satan came at them during the week, but they had to be like Peter and say, you know what? I recognize it's the enemy. I recognize it's the enemy coming at me. And it was through people. It was through people coming at them for no reason. And they gave their testimony. They said, no. Now, there was a time that I would have given that person a piece of my mind. But I recognize the Holy Spirit is within me. So I'm not going to, they can go there, but I'm not going to go there. And then in the end, each person that went through that got the victory. But they recognized, like Pastor was saying, that they, and after it happened, they were like, wow, I've really grown in Christ. And they've grown in Christ because not only are they going to church, they're doing Bible study, they're doing prayer service, so they're getting all that armor. But as you were talking about, that is so true. It's like you high on the Lord, God's something good, and the enemy is just sitting there waiting. Like when people first come to and get saved and they come and give their life to Christ. That's one thing you and Pastor say, okay, now get ready, because as soon as you get out the door, Satan's coming at you. And it's because, like you said here in chapter 10, God brought them together. They were baptized by the name, in the name of the Father, in the name of Jesus, so they could go out and share with others the goodness of the Lord. And that's the same thing that happens today. God wants you to get saved. God don't want you to keep it to yourself. He wants you to go grow and share with others. But Slewfoot comes and steps up in there and tries to trip you up and tries you to get back to your old ways and not rely on Jesus. And he's really showing this right now with the pandemic because, again, God is a progressive God. So what happens when people couldn't go into the church building? first thing happened when we were trying to do conference call, the phones wouldn't work. Then we got to Zoom.
Yeah.
Same with you, with you know, when you were doing blog talk, stuff would happen. So, and you had people in church that were like, well, I can't do church unless it's in a building.
Hello.
You had some pastors that were like, you know what, I know this pandemic is a mess, but I'm still open up the church building because people got to come in to be in the building to be able to worship with the Lord. And so it's like man-made. They didn't always have buildings. In the biblical days, they didn't always have buildings with the Mount of Olives outside, in the water, whatever. But that's not the way we used to do it. Or, you know, someone even shared with me on Sunday, they called me and was like, but I just grew up going to church in a building, and I'm trying to get adjusted to this. Well, are you worshiping the building?
Hello.
Or are you worshiping God? Which ones you're going to be? So it's like there's so many ways that Satan uses so many different things that once we're high on the Lord to try to bring us down, which is why we need to grow.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
I sure do. And to tap in on what Sheila was saying, you know, I've heard all kinds of stories since this pandemic. And the main thing I keep hearing, well, you know, we can't wait until we get back into the building. And my thinking is, well, why wait? We got it right here. I keep hearing that. I can't get adjusted to service on Zoom or whatever it is. But yet we forget that God is still God. And, and it doesn't about worshiping him in a building. You know, and that's one of the things that people have gotten so used to doing. You know, tradition. I went to New Birth, you know, the Lord revealed so much stuff to me, who I was going to have problems with. That one right there was the main one. He was the chairman of the board today. He was the leading folk astray. And people were just following him. And that term, well, you know, that this is the way that we've done things. Decent and order. I've heard that word so much. And they still didn't know what decent and order was. You know, my terminology is decent and order. You obey what God wants. Not what you're accustomed to doing. And so people are just out of sync with what God wants. And you're right. You know, you can be having a high time doing what the Lord wants, but then somebody is always going to come. The devil is going to use somebody. And be honest with you, that's why I thank him that he did allow the pandemic to come, because it's revealing the ones that are sincere and those that are not.
Amen. It's something. And you know, you just flip the page from chapter 10 to chapter 11, and here it is. I mean, look what it says in the NIV with that verse 2. It says, so when Peter went out to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went into the house of the uncircumcised men and ate with them. Now they're talking about the circumcised. That was a thing that in the Old Testament that they did on the eighth day, the male child was to be circumcised, but it was supposed to be an outward symbol of what's happening in the heart. And so, you know, the circumcising of the flesh is different between what's being circumcised in the heart. And so that part of their conversation was irrelevant. It's like, this is the grace. This is grace, and God wants to circumcise your heart. He wants your heart to be right. And so they had missed the whole point. It's like, you know, God wants every man to be saved, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're circumcised or you're uncircumcised. And so they missed the whole point, and they were relying on something that wasn't applicable to the situation. So it was a thing where you had to question, was their heart right? Were they right with God, and was their heart right? Did God want to save these folks also? And so they were like, well, they got saved, and then they jumped all over Peter. Didn't ask him about the Holy Spirit. Didn't ask him about the people getting saved. Didn't ask him about the people getting baptized. They talking about you ate with them.
Yeah. It reminds me of way, way back when, I guess it was in the 80s, maybe the 70s, where people would ask you, because everybody was so hooked up on religion and what denomination you were. This denomination did this, and this denomination did that. So that was when the whole thing came out where you weren't saved unless you were speaking in tongues. Or they would ask you, did you catch the Holy Spirit? I'm like, catch the Holy Spirit? You can't. Like, it was a cold, you know, and the whole outward, if, you know, you can't wear this color lipstick, you know. It's all this outward stuff, but you could do all of this, all these outward things, and not wear red lipstick and not wear earrings and only come dressed in black or white, but that's outward. What is your heart like? That's why Jesus came to save us. He wanted for our soul, for our spirit. He wanted to fill us with the Holy Spirit. It's not so much with that outward thing. He wanted to be right, wants us to be inside. And it's the same thing. It's like this symbolism, this outward thing. And they didn't even think about the goodness of God. It was thinking pleasing man. Pleasing man, which is what we were talking about in the beginning of the Bible study. And that's where it is now. Everybody's worried about pleasing man. What you going to do when you die? Because man ain't going to be there. I mean, that was the one thing that we could experience with both mom and dad, especially mom, when she went to that dementia thing. Her body was deteriorating. Her mind was going. Mm-hmm. But she was still singing them gospel songs. And she was still the Lord, and she would break out in a song and sing it till she stopped. Up until her death, she was still humming and singing, and that was her soul. Her spirit was still there, though her body and mind wasn't. So that's what God is concerned about, not what we have outward. But I think we're so obsessed with the outward, what we're presenting, and all the different denominations doing this. I mean, it had gotten, I'm in the 80s and the 90s, it was really, 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 really bad. But I think people started to say, that's what kind of got people drawn back out to the world, because this church was putting too many stipulations on whether you're saved or not. When it's just a matter of you confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. Boom. Now you need to grow so you can enjoy the trip to heaven. But
they're living business.
Denominations were just making it so complicated that you had to come up and do this. And if you weren't doing this, remember the whole name it and claim it. Then people are like, well, what's wrong with my faith? If I say I want this car, even though I'm only making 10 cents an hour, but God should give it to me. Well, then your faith must not be strong enough. You know, the whole prosperity.
Right, right.
And now we're in this mess because the church took the focus, like these people here, off of God, off of salvation, off of that heart, that God wants your heart to be right, not so much. And he wants that personal relationship. So nobody can tell you that. They're not even thinking about that part. It's just a matter of the tradition and the denomination.
Amen. I mean, I remember the whole hat thing. You know.
Oh yeah.
You know. it was supposed to be about having a covering, and folks took that thing, forgot about a covering, and they just wanted to outdo each other's hat. It was a whole industry about hats and. You know, you had to have the best hat. Some people come late to church just so they can walk down the aisle so you can see their new hat.
That's right.
And it was just a thing. And like you said, you know, with our mom, and she wasn't worshiping God in a building. She was worshiping God in a nursing home with no hat on.
Amen.
And it got to a point. Got to a point where she didn't even wear the wig anymore.
But on the right.
She was still praising God. And God took her just the way she was, where she was, giving him the praise. And, you know, it got to a point the last 2 years where I used to wear a suit. And I used to wear a suit over there, and she would get a little teary eyed, a little anxious when we were going to church because she wanted to dress up. So some kind of way God told me, stop wearing the suit. God stopped wearing the suit. And with her going into worship, it became easier because, you know, I was dressed like she was, you know, in a sweatsuit and something comfortable. And we went, and it wasn't a big deal. And, you know, even to when we were in the building, I wouldn't wear a suit as much as I would wear just casual clothes. And,
right.
And you know, it's one of those things where the tradition, you know, is and the religion was trying to supersede what the Spirit wanted. And
right.
And you have to come to that. Once you come to that understanding, you can say, hey, I can praise God in my basement. I can praise
right.
God, you know, on Zoom, on Blog Talk, you know, because
mm-hmm.
God is a spirit. God,
yeah.
God is a spirit, and the spirit, we worship God in spirit and in truth. It doesn't have
mm-hmm.
to be in spirit and in truth in a building or spirit and in truth in a suit or a tie or a hat. It's in spirit and in truth. You know, all these other things, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with a building, there's nothing wrong with suits, nothing wrong with hats and all these things. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we can worship God without those things. Those things
right.
aren't essential to worshiping God. Dr. G, help me out.
Well, you know what, when you and Sheila were talking, my mind went back because when we were with New Hope, and having to get into the multi-purpose room up at John Bain. And
yep.
there were times that we just could not get in for whatever reason. I mean, I remember I have literally preached up underneath a tree. We had church up
mm-hmm.
underneath a tree outside John Bain's school.
Yep.
We also,
Amen.
There was a when we couldn't get into the multi-purpose room,
mm-hmm.
and we went down to Reverend Brown's house
mm-hmm.
down the street.
Mm-hmm.
I preached from the kitchen
yep.
area. So it,
yep.
it doesn't matter.
Nice.
Right. And then even because Sheila just brought something up, when we were at New Birth and the boiler had died and we had to get a new
mm-hmm.
HVAC, we had church right in the basement. And that
Amen.
Was where gave God the praise. And you
Amen.
Know, we live day and time now where I think people have gotten so sadistic, you know, and tradition is taking over. Sheila was mentioning that there was a time denominations didn't mix. They Baptists wouldn't go over to the Methodists
yeah.
and
yeah.
all stuff. And being dumb and me, look, somebody want me to preach, I went.
Mm-hmm.
I've preached many
Amen.
Sermons, Methodist churches, holiness churches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just didn't get caught up in the tradition of what it is. All I did was preach Jesus
right.
according to
go.
How the Holy Spirit gave me. And when you look at where we are now, too many of the churches, you know, we've become religious, but we're not Holy Ghost filled. And the Lord is us an opportunity to get back to where we are. Sheila was mentioning politics. I look at how all of these politicians are willing to sell their souls to the devil, Agent Orange, and no matter what that fool does, it's all right with them. Either they won't say anything or they try to cover up. And I, you know, she'll have sitting around. I said, "That's all right, because the Lord is going to deal with all of them. All of them have
yeah.
got a place in hell that they're going to have to bust hell wide open for the junk that they're doing." But we've gotten away. I mean, we forget that back during the days of slavery, our people didn't
on,
have
man.
Church.
Yeah.
Wherever
on,
they sneak away and
sing
ahead.
Glory to God and preach,
go
that
ahead.
Was
go
what
ahead.
They did. But now that we done got these glorious buildings, you know, we can't have church unless it's air conditioned or we got to have the heat going. You know, anything out of the normal just goes against the grain of what we're supposed to be about.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's all right, preacher.
Like you said, it's not that anything's wrong with these things. There's nothing wrong with, you know, yeah. We miss each other because we want to see each other, but the fact that we miss being and seeing each other shouldn't stop us from giving God the glory. It's like you said, there's nothing wrong with the building. There's nothing wrong if you want to wear a hat, but it's not essential to your salvation and your growth in the Lord. And so you shouldn't let these things, because we're doing it for work. Everybody's making adjustments for work, where I had to dress up, I had to go to work, yeah. I had to catch the train, but I'm still working now that I'm home, so I don't dress up as much. I'm on the line. I'm just mm-hmm. so we're adjusting to it, you know, even as hard as it is for the moms with the kids being at home, but they mm-hmm. adjust, and they're still doing what they need to do. So it's the same thing with church. Yes, the school building would be the preference, but you can't get in there, but we're still going to have school. The same thing. The yeah. church building would be your preference, so we can see each other, love upon each other, but that should not stop us from the purpose, which in a school situation is getting an education, and a church mm-hmm. situation, growing in Christ and drawing closer and closer to Him, so we can tell others about the goodness of the Lord.
You gotta stop making excuses.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Let's get back to see how Peter dealt with this. And I think this is a great example that when we're criticized or when people are contentious with what the Holy Spirit is leading and teaching and doing, is that we have to rely on the Word of God. And we have to take people back to the Word of God. That's why it's so important for believers in Christ and believers that are in a church or in a family to say that God's Word is going to be the final authority, and go into prayer and go back to the Word to say, let's see what God says. And so in verse 4 in the NIV, it says, starting from the beginning. In other words, you had to go back to the beginning and lay down the basics and lay down what happened, what actually occurred, and what is important, and what God has said and done in this situation. And so you need to refocus on the Word, what thus said the Lord, not what thus said man, or what uh-huh. thus said what man feels, or what man has been doing for the last 25 years, but going back and seeing what God has done, what God has to say about the situation. And when people can agree around the Word of God, then it becomes a thing where the Holy Spirit can speak to people's hearts, and people can learn to make these adjustments. Like you were saying, Sheila G., Where are you going to go to school? How are you going to go to work? Or the adjustments of how are you going to attend church and worship and all these things? Because the Holy Spirit will be guiding. The Holy Spirit will be there. And it'll be walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And when you're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, then you can, the Bible and Timothy talks about the Word of God has been given by inspiration of God, and holy men wrote as they were inspired, and the Word is profitable for doctrines, for instructions in righteousness, that the man, woman of God will be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so the Word of God is our foundation, and we have the Holy Spirit within us that will teach us and guide us the Word of God. Then we can come together and deal with change. And that's one of the biggest and the hardest things for the human, is to realize that people are different, change comes, and because people are different and change comes and change happens, it doesn't need, there's not a need for us to be defensive or think it's wrong, but it's a thing for us to go back to the Word of God and see what God says about it. And God wants us to love each other, and God wants to be able to appreciate each other's differences, and God wants us to be able to gather around His Word and worship and glorify Him and give His name the honor and the glory. So Peter started at the beginning, and he told them exactly what God did. And the same thing that we saw in chapter 10 is what Peter is going to do, is he's going to rehearse exactly what the Spirit has done. And I think that's where we go astray a lot of times, Sheila G., is we want to add and we want to subtract to what the Spirit has done instead of sticking to sticking to the Word of God. And that's what I love about our Bible studies. We go line by line, precept by precept, and we stick to the Word of God. And when you start pulling in with thus said man, that's when you get in trouble. And so Peter went back and started at the beginning. And if churches and family members and people of God can stick with the Word of God, then change and differences occur, and we go back to the Word of God, then we can collectively move past the challenges that the enemy tries to throw in, and the monkey wrenches that the enemy tries to throw in, and we can stay focused on the Word of God. Shield G.
Amen. And that's the key, is staying focused on the Word of God, because, like you said, we want to embellish, we want to add to it. And with God's Word, you don't need to add anything to it or take anything from it. Stay focused on that. And that, the Word of God, is what defeats the enemy. If you try to put yourself in, and that's you open up the door for the enemy to come in and start attacking emotions, then you get all emotional, want to fight and argue about it. But mom used to always say that you don't need to tell a lie, because if you tell a lie, you got to keep remembering it. But if you tell the truth, the truth stays the same, so you don't have to remember the truth. And that's what, and God's Word is the truth. So we don't need to add to God's Word.
Amen. And Satan will always try to give you a part of it or a piece of it. That's why you need to know the Word for yourself. And you need to rely on the Holy Spirit, because Satan will give you bits and pieces. That's how he attacked Jesus when he came out of prayer and fasting in the wilderness. He hit him with some crazy stuff to try to make him doubt, try to do things that were contrary to the Word of God. And so Peter says, and we're going to go to the phone line, he said in chapter 11, verse 4, he says, starting from the beginning, Peter told them the what? The whole story. The whole story. Don't give me bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. Don't twist it up the way you want twisted to make it work for you. And Dr. G, you got some preachers out there, and we tell the truth with Shane the Devil, they want to twist stuff up for their own good.
Yep.
You know, you got politicians, you got religious people, you got political people that want to twist stuff up for their own good. And that's where people get in trouble. That's where people get led astray. That's where people miss their blessing because they don't know the whole truth. You know, when you go on in court and you're asked to be sworn in, it says, do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And, you know, that's the whole truth that they're looking for. They're not looking for part. They're not looking for covering it up. They're not looking for spin. They're not looking for, you know, a fraction of it. They're looking for the whole story. You got to tell the whole story. Dr. G.
Well, you know, I was sitting here. You're right. The only problem with that is that not enough people are getting into the Word, that they don't know what the truth is. It's easier to let somebody else lead us rather than do the work ourselves. That was partly the problem when I got the new birth. You had this chairman who was, he supposedly studying, but he was leading people off into oblivion. And folk would not study, but they would follow on whatever he said. And when you look at where we are now, the problem hasn't changed. People, it takes too much to get folk to get up, dial in on this line, get some of that word, or to pick up that word. I mean, we've done everything we can. We pass out the daily bread, getting them to open that once a day. That's hard. So until people back to doing what they need to do, they'll never be right doing what the Lord wants them to do. They'll always have gripes and complaints.
Amen. Amen. But you got to know the whole story. And so that is what is required in order to deal with the criticism and the contention and the things that will try to come against you when you're doing the work of the Lord. And so we're going to ask that question tonight. Amen. Is knowing the whole story, has the knowing the whole story benefited you in your walk with Christ, your walk with God, knowing the whole story? So how is knowing the whole story about God helped you in your walk? How has knowing the whole story of God helped you in your walk? We're going to go to the first caller. Last four digits, 6309. 6309, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Right. How's knowing the whole story of God helped me in my life? Is that the question?
Okay. Yeah, that's the question.
Yes, well, knowing the whole story of anything is a good thing, but knowing the whole story of God, I mean, the stories that I read, like whatever chapter I'm on or whatever book I'm on in the Bible, I always read it and read it and read it. At first, when I first started reading it, I couldn't understand what the scriptures were saying. And I told someone this, and he told me, well, you just keep reading it until you get it. So that's what I did, and that's what I do now. But I always want to know the whole story, because whenever I'm on Bible study like I'm on now, I get my Bible. Every word that y'all say, every word that you read, Pastor Kayson, I read it as you're going along.
Amen.
I don't listen to what nobody say. I'm here. This is mine. This is my salvation. I find out for myself.
Amen.
When we have scriptures or whatever, I always get my Bible out on Wednesday in case I'm asked to read a scripture. I always, this is my go-to now.
Amen.
It ain't no bottle of wine, and it ain't no glass of beer.
Come on,
this
now.
This is my go-to
now.
You hear me? And it's good.
Come
you
on
hear
now.
Me? It's real
Come
good.
On
There's some good trouble. There's some good stuff right here. So, I believe in that. Knowing the whole story, is because that's what I've wanted to do in my growth with the Lord. I don't want to listen to what nobody say. I don't have to. I get my Bible. I read it for myself.
Amen.
So you're not going to tell me what's nothing say, because I'm reading for myself. I'm not going to go by what you say. No disrespect. But that's me.
Come on, man.
For me growing, my growth. So, yes, I think it's a good thing to know the whole story. It helps you stop from making a mistake, helps you stop from saying the wrong thing to somebody sometimes. Just know stuff for yourself. Whether somebody call on you or not, you got the realization of what the real stuff is in you. So just if somebody asks you a question, you'll be able to contribute something, you know?
Amen.
So, it's all a part of knowing the Lord. It's all a part of having a personal relationship with Him, because this is what we want. He gives us the opportunity to get closer to Him, and we want to get closer to Him. These are the things we do. We read our Bible. We'll tell somebody something. If you think they're saying something wrong, you get your book and you show them. You know.
Amen.
It's all, like I said, it's all good. And I'm
Amen.
Thankful and grateful to God that He came into my life and He showed me a better way for a lot of things to do. So I'm just thankful and happy, and I'm happy that He allowed me to have a personal relationship with Him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. The last four digits, 1741. 1741, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I thank God for His word and for the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's through constant prayer and asking the Holy Spirit to teach me, keep me teachable, keep me humble, give me understanding of the word, and what allow me to receive the word and to understand the word, because God wants us to know. Jesus wants us to know the word, and because the word is our lifeline. And if we don't study, we have to be taught. That's the thing. We have to be taught. And when we commit our life unto Him and ask Him to come into our life and to teach us and to change us, help us to walk in His way, His truth and His righteousness, and fill us with his Holy Spirit. These are spiritual gifts and spiritual things that the Lord benefits, blessings, should I say, rather, that he wants us to receive and he wants us to have so we can have a good life, a quality of life, that abundant life that Jesus told us that we would have. A lot of times when people talk about abundant life, their mind go to material possessions.
That's right.
But abundant life to me is to be blessed spiritually, to know more and more about the Word and how God wants me to live, and the blessings that he has in store for me spiritually so that I can help somebody else along the way. Mm-hmm. And so this completeness that we will receive, I mean, you know, we grow every day. We make mistakes every day. We grow every day. And as long as we remain teachable, as long as we can surrender our life over to the Lord and say, you know, I got this wrong, I made a mistake, please help me, or either ask the Lord to send people into your life that is going to help you. That's the thing, you know, that going to be able to teach you, be able to train you, be able to lead you in the truth, because everybody don't have your best interest. And everybody don't have God's agenda. Some people's about building what's for them. They're not concerned about you nor your soul. They couldn't care less. And so we have to pray and ask God to put the right people into our life so that we'll be able to stay on this straight and narrow pathway.
Amen.
And like I said before, we're going to make some mistakes. We're going to get some things wrong. But if we keep praying, and keep relying on the Holy Spirit, he's going to put us in the straight and narrow pathway. He's going to order our steps. But when we do fall, if we go to him with a repentant heart, then he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and help us to stay on that straight and narrow. But we got to ask him to help us. We got to ask him, Lord, I want more of your word. Feed me. And when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, Lord, I want you to feed me because I need this word, because this is my life. And when we begin to have that change in the heart, and what happens with a lot of people, they feel like they don't need the Lord. They feel like they don't need the Lord. They feel like they don't, you know, they tell you, I'm a pretty good person. But it's not about you being a pretty good person. It's about all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us need Jesus. And when we come to that realization that I don't have righteousness, but I have Jesus' righteousness, then we'll be about his program and asking him to direct our life. And he can be the center. And that's the problem today with a lot of people today. They have not accepted the fact that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and they need him because they think that their plan is working, and their plan is not working, and their life is not going to get any better until you put Jesus on that throne first. And once you put him there, he's going to direct your step. The Holy Spirit is going to direct your step, but you got to ask him. You got to want him there, and you got to surrender your life unto him. And it's that flesh got to be crucified and die daily. Because it's something about men. We love power and we love authority. And we constantly got to ask Jesus, help me, Lord. Help me keep humbling me. Help me, Lord. I need you.
Amen.
And to acknowledge him and let him know, I need you as my Lord and my Savior. I need your word to direct my life. Because without you, I'm nothing at all.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. So thank you for your comment tonight.
Thank
We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 3343.
You're on air. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Pastor, I'd like to tell you that I don't know about the Zoom and all the other topics, but in the meantime, you just showed out Sunday, and I thought you was in the building somewhere, and you got away from us. So I want to give you the credit that you, I know God to know me, and I've been over this story before, but anyway, soon, I just got that all through my whole day. You just lit me up. I thought you were in the building. You went to the building before us, and you got there before we get there. We're going to get there, but I enjoyed that so much. I talked about it all day Sunday. Anyway,
amen.
I ain't on Zoom. You zoomed me that Sunday, all right? And I got all ready. And if I don't understand it, I'm going to come across it sooner or later. Thank
amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller, 5904. You are on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Knowing the whole story of God's helping me, listen to Pastor Kayson, Pastor Gregory, Sister Gregory talk about tradition and different things, and I was sitting here thinking about as a kid going to church, and one of the things that I remember when we were little, my stepfather took me and my sister to Sunday school every day. Well, not every day, but every Sunday. And when we got into vacation Bible school as a kid, I enjoyed that so much because I was learning about the story of Jesus. And every day we had to come, you know, that whole week was a Bible verse. And I remember someone said, Jesus wept. And we like, Jesus cried? And they said, yeah. Mm-hmm. So our Sunday school teacher showed us in the Bible. And she also explained to us that that was the shortest verse in the Bible. And I'm like, boy, he said, I didn't know Jesus cried. You know, but it makes me think that Jesus do cry for us when we leave him on the side and walk right past, because all he wants to do is to be our friend. So that made me understand that whatever I do, I have to remember that I can't do anything unless Jesus is with me.
Amen.
Amen.
And when I do something wrong, believe it or not, Jesus is going to punish me.
Right.
And he makes me think about what I just done. And if I have conviction in my heart, I will go back and apologize or ask forgiveness of what I have just done, because we're not perfect. And we do sin constantly. But sometimes you have to know an order. Well, let me rephrase it. You have to know when you're doing wrong. Everybody knows when they're doing wrong. Just some people won't admit it. But I'm just thankful that I learned that verse that Jesus loved, because it makes me think that when I'm bad, he cries because I'm not making him happy.
Amen.
So in order to make him happy, I have to do things that he's pleased with, like a parent, you know, and wait. If I don't do right, he's going to chastise me like a parent. So that's my comment.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 1411. 1411, you're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's a good question, knowing the whole truth. I would say for me, when I started going through adversity, that's when I realized I didn't know as much as I thought I did. I think early on in Christianity, you know, we know Bible verses. We know where to find the ones that everybody knows and can quote, but we don't necessarily apply those things to our life. We don't necessarily apply the walk to our life. So what happened was, as I began to start going through adversity, I started realizing, like, man, I'm going about this all wrong, and I thought I knew certain things, and I thought I was really serious about my Christian walk and serious about the Word of God and God all by himself, and I realized that I wasn't. So as I begin to study and secondly apply the Word of God, find out the truth and know certain things, then I think I at least touched on it. The scriptures started making sense to me. The songs began to resonate with me, because I started going through some things, and the key word being going through some things. And then I started realizing, like, wow, all along I was just barely getting by with the bare minimum of knowing all about God. But as I started going through some things, I began to study more and applying the Word of God. And then that's when I started realizing the entire truth about the Lord. And not just even from a standpoint of what I go through, I was also able to give a word to individuals that were going through similar things or going through
Amen.
Personal things of their of their own. So knowing the truth really expanded me as a person, as a brother, as a son, as a musician, as just a overall Christian. Knowing the truth has definitely helped me out and growing. But you know, one thing I tell people is that knowing the truth is one thing. We all know the right thing to do, but are we applying that truth to our life? When we're out there making mistakes and doing wrong, we can acknowledge, yeah, we're doing things that we know are not pleasing in the eyes of God, but we still choose to do otherwise. So definitely knowing the truth is one thing, knowing the entire truth is another, but applying that to your daily walk and, most importantly, be consistent with it. And that's where I truly learned is that, you know, once you start to do things and God knows that, hey, you can do this, then as the other sister stated, that, you know, God starts to get disappointed because he knows you know better. He knows you know the truth. He knows you know all about him, but we have our faults and we have our days and weeks and months and some of us even years where we're not recognizable by God. God's like, this isn't you. You're just getting caught up in the world and caught up in whatever you're going through. But I know you are better than this and you're still my child and I still love you, but we're disappointing God. You know, and it's really truly a humbling experience when you start going through some things and you start to realize, like, man, you know, my parents weren't really crazy. I still, by that time, you know, something was going on in their life. My mom was crying when she heard that song, or when your parents are praying, they've got the Bible out, and they just laying their hands on you. Sitting there, like, man, my mom had lost her mind. She up here acting like we in church, and she laying hands on me with the Bible, quoting scripture in the middle of the kitchen. It all starts to come back and starts to make sense. And wow, they really truly understood the word of God and really knew the truth about God. But guess what? I had to go through some things. I had to get tired of battling and dealing with the internal struggles and realizing, like, you know what? I got to know the truth for myself. I hear all these other people and I see all these things, but guess what? It's not resonating with me because I'm listening to their truth. And sometimes our own individual truths are circumcised around the fact of what we go through and our own experiences. So I said, unless I'm experiencing something and going through something, it isn't going to make sense. You know, a lot of ministers and pastors talk about God and streets paved with gold and all the good stuff, but it's like they don't tell you when you sign up to be a Christian, you're going to have to go through some hell, bro. You're going to have some people talk about you. You all of a sudden going to start seeing things and doing things like, man, did I really want to sign up for this? Did I really want to do this? Because it seems like the devil started attacking because Satan's like, okay, you a step closer to God than you were before, so now I got to come after you. Before, when I was in the world, I wasn't a threat, so Satan never tried to attack me because I was already basically doing Satan's job. I didn't have a relationship with God. I didn't know anything about it. But the second I said, you know what, I'm going to turn my life over to Christ, that's when the attack started coming, and it forced me to find that truth and find that truth within myself and realize, like, it's not a game. You know, we talk about, oh, I'm a Christian, and we do all this stuff, but some of us playing around. Some of us playing around with God's word. Some of us playing around with God's walk. But I really had to take a deep look in the mirror and ask myself, is this really something that I want to do and something I want to be about every day of my life until the Lord calls me home? But definitely once I realized I knew the truth and I applied the truth, it definitely expanded my world as far as being a Christian. But, you know, I don't regret anything. I know we all go through some things and some things stick with us and leave a lasting impression on us. But the journey that I've been on in these 39 years I've been in this world, I don't regret anything because I know it was all for a purpose, and that purpose was to help me be a better person, to know the truth about God, and to ultimately have a better, stronger relationship with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G, ask you to give us a final comment and close us out with prayer. It's been a great Bible study.
Amen. I just believe in it. Knowing the truth can help us all in our walk with God. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for allowing us to have another Bible study, Lord. We thank you, Father, for helping us to expound on your word. Now, Father, I pray that we will just take it, apply it to our hearts, and share it with others, Lord. We thank you for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see and hear from you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.